Elections 2024 on Radio Kerry.
Yes, indeed, you're listening to Kerry Today. We're talking to candidates from the Kenmare local electoral area. Some of the 16 candidates, five indeed of the 16 candidates, who are seeking election to the Kenmare Municipal District, part of Kerry County Council, are seeking election to Kerry County Council outright, I suppose. As I said, there are 16 people running for six seats, and I have five of them in studio with me here in Killarney. We have Teddy O'Sullivan, Casey of Fine Gael. We have Padge Foley, who is an independent. Councillor Johnny Healyway, also independent. Norman Moriarty, councillor from Fianna Fáil. And Stephanie O'Shea, who is running for Sinn Féin. Good morning to all of you, and thanks for joining us on the programme this morning and coming into studio. We have our comments coming in from listeners. If you have any questions or queries in relation to what councillors can do for you, what you feel they should be doing, what they haven't been doing, then get in touch with us on the programme this morning. I am going to start with the issue of, well, it's a combined issue, I suppose, this morning, and it's particularly relevant to large areas of the Kenmare local electoral area, and that is the issue of small business and tourism. Councillor Norman Moriarty, I'll start with you. There's an issue of rates which has cropped up in Kenmare town, but it's allied to the wider issue of the sort of charges and costs that are being experienced by many of the small businesses that fuel our tourism industry. Initial word I have is that the season is not great and we're in for a rough ride at a time of increased government costs, which these councillors have no control over, but also this rates element, which goes to fund the local authority. What is your solution to this particular problem for lots of our small businesses?
There's no doubt that, it's going to be, the signs are that it's going to be a difficult season ahead, albeit we had a very successful May Bank Holiday weekend. Much of that was down to very good community voluntary efforts in terms of festivals that were taking place in various villages and so on. We had a sporting event in Waterville, the Mountain Roots Festival in Carsabine. There was a lot of good stuff happening, and people came out when the weather was fine, and you had a lot of activity around that. The rates issue is particularly keenly felt in Kenmare because of the levels of increases that have been experienced. As you know, 56% of businesses have been told that their rates are going to decrease, but there are 44 where there's going to be increases. Some of those 44 are new into the rates bracket effectively. They wouldn't previously have been rated. There are appeals ongoing. Those appeals are extremely important. We have to get to the conclusion of those appeals. Some of the people in Kenmare, along Henry Street and along the square and so on, that have been hit with the highest level of rates, some
gone up by a factor of six in 1 year.
And that's clearly untenable, because it's in no one's interest to actually effectively put somebody out of business, because that is the real risk of this, that it'll put a business out of existence. And there's no point, putting a charge on rating a business, charging to such amount in order to revenue raise for local government, if in fact you're actually putting them out of business. That's counterproductive, clearly. So we hope that those appeals will see common sense be applied. I am aware, for example, because one of the business people in Kenmare that I spoke to, who had put in their appeal quite early and had gone through the appeals process, they had gotten very good advice on how to actually put that appeal together. They were very happy with the reduction that they were able to secure. So that appeal has gone through the process, and there was a successful reduction applied. So it would be very important that we get to the end stage of these appeals process. I would be very hopeful that sense will, because that level of increase clearly can't be sustained, so sense will have to be applied there, and those appeals, I would hope, will be very successful.
Okay, Stephanie O'Shea, Sinn Féin, what's your view on the solution to this sort of problems of increased costs for small businesses as part of our tourism industry?
Well, we hear it every day when we're out and about and canvassing, and they are struggling. I think the commercial rates is a big issue. I think we need to look at how we actually calculate commercial rates. We've had the increased cost of business support grant recently. It doesn't go far enough. I think it's just a band-aid on the actual situation. We need to actually look at how the rates are calculated, given the increase of costs and everything else for these businesses over the last few years.
56% of those are lower, but it's a question of how much they're lower by. We're seeing instances where some businesses are three and four times more, that they just won't survive.
They won't survive, not the way it is. And it's likely the areas that the rates have gone down, the tourism levels have come down as well. So the revenue has come down. So it's probably only just about the same breaking even for them. They're probably not going to get the benefits of it.
Okay. Johnny Healyway, what's your answer?
Yes,
to this?
Johnny. Well, look, I agree with everything that has been said there. I think, unfortunately, it's predicted that 1,000 businesses will close in the 26 counties this year. There is only 26 counties. I think the rise in rates is cruel. You cannot get blood from a stone. We all know the businesses, particularly in Kilmarnock at this point in time. There's people coming into my head where their rates have gone from 18,000 to 39,000 to 44,000. It's unsustainable. I don't think they can pay it. We're going to have doors closed. And I suppose it is very hard for us as county councillors to understand why someone cannot see since. We understand, the same as everyone else, that the cost of things have gone up over the last number of years, inflation, etc. Everything has gone up. But if rates were risen at a normal rate of 5% or 10% even, that I don't think that we would have, you know, that would be the difference between keeping a door open or not, to be honest about it. But this will. We'll ultimately lose jobs, we'll lose revenue, and a lot of our towns will be boarded up. And just to say, it's constantly being pointed to that there's 56% of rates have come down countywide. Agreed. Unfortunately, a lot of them are public houses and other places that have suffered dramatically because of COVID and have never been able to get back on their feet, and maybe a lot of them won't. So the ones that their rates have dropped, unfortunately, it's because their business and turnover have dropped. And they are to be worried about also, because they were in trouble before the rates increase came in. And now with the other 44%, large businesses, large employers, people who mean an awful lot to the community, people who sponsor GAA clubs, etc. And it's very annoying, I suppose, for us as county councillors, when we know what's happening in the ground, to think that someone, in whoever, whatever minister carried out the rates review at an awful bad time, it has to be said, and tell Tairn their appeals process. While there is an appeals process, tis draconian, tis long, tis drawn out, and I appreciate the people that got in earlier getting somewhere. To me, it looks like a lot of the appeals are going to go on 18 months, so people are left in limbo.
So what would you do different? How would you fund local authorities? And I'm conscious this is a national thing.
I would do different. Remember now that we were funding the local authority the years gone by, before these massive increases at all. While we could always do with more money for more services, you have to cut your cloth to suit your measure, and you cannot get blood from a stone. What I have said that I would be in agreement was if the rates were risen somewhere between 5% and 10%, and in any one calendar,
across the board, but you don't hit anyone 6 or 7.
Yeah, times. Or 5% in any one calendar year. That's what you'd call maybe a normal rise in a year when inflation is rising. But to rise people's rates up to 6 or 8 times in certain cases, I've one guy 10 times the amount he've risen. That's unrealistic, and them doors will be closed.
Okay, Teddy Casey, Finny Gael, what's your answer to this?
Well, first of all, Jerry, I do have huge sympathy for the traders, especially in my hometown of Kilmare. I think it was wrong what happened to them, to be honest. I suppose my answer to it really is that the rate should be based on your turnover, a percentage of your turnover. I think that would be the first thing of all. I suppose one of the things that the new council should be looking to do now is to put motions in looking for something like that. The VAT rate of 9%, that will have to come back in. We will have to get that reintroduced, and I'd be hoping that would be possible. I suppose another thing, like, you know, for anyone that went through the valuation process, some people missed the deadline, and now I believe they have to pay 250 euros or something to get back into. That's wrong as well. Do you know, they should be all accommodated, really, and the council should hold back on the rates until the valuation process is completed, and take a new approach.
I'm not even sure that can be done, but do you think that the council should take a benign view for the next year on people?
I do, to be honest, sure, because I mean,
until their appeals are sorted out.
Yeah, because like, if you're asking for the rates in one hand and give you a grant in the other hand, it doesn't make sense, like, you know. So I mean, if they go that rate, you don't have to give out grants for the cost of business support. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it could be an overall saving made from that.
I would say so, balance out, like. And okay, you know, as one person said to me, like, I mean, they're trying to close the town by stealth, and for any new people trying to start up, like, it's going to be impossible for them to start up as well, you know?
And it has a depressive effect on anyone. Absolutely, looking to rent, yeah, a building as well. They say, the first thing I have to pay is increased rates, yeah, so there, yeah, you're in, yeah, trouble straight,
yeah,
away.
Of course, yeah.
So, okay, Padge Foley, what's your answer to this situation? Killorglin, I imagine, similarly affected, and businesses there under pressure?
Yeah, well, small businesses in Killorglin have been absolutely decimated in Killorglin, and like, let's say now in space of 6 months, there we had 5 cafes closed down, we've had the Vodafone shop closed down, we've had the fruit and veg guy closed down, you know, and there's more going to close down as well. And it's Killorglin, we love our town, and we're a small little town on the Ring of Kerry, trying our best. You know, and these closures are absolutely decimating our community, our town and everything. And my own family have had a business closed down, you know. And you know something, we've kind of crossed a path as well where between rates, insurance, another scam, if you'd like, for a better word, rates, everything, to open up a door for a business, right? You're looking at young people opening up a door, trying their best. Those are the type of people who should be encouraged in our society, you know, not penalised the whole time, you know. And you know something, the thing about these small little businesses, like, you know, these cafes and stuff like that, the importance of them, you know, it's like a community centre. You know, you talk about the isolation of COVID and all that, like, you know, these people come in, they might be the only cup of coffee, the only chat in the day, you know. You know, so, like, for me, I always think about the person who's working. They always, the person who gets out of bed in the morning trying their best, support them as much as they can. And you know something as well, look at the rates. Look at, I mean, there's no reason why, like, Killorgan should be the same rates as, like, you know, the bigger towns like Killarney, Tralee and all this, like, you know. We have to look at getting the doors back open, number one. Get the doors back open. I don't care what it takes, because if you have a door closed, There's no electricity being paid, there's no insurance, there's no nothing being paid.
No one's winning. Okay, no. You're raising an interesting issue there. It's to do with dereliction and vacancy as well. That is affecting parts of the Kenmare local electorate. We're going to get to that in the context of housing and other issues and revitalising our town centres. We'll get to that with our panel after we take these.
Elections 2024 on Radio Kerry.
Keep your comments, views and opinions coming into us on the programme. Five of the 16 candidates who are running for the Kenmare local electoral area with me in studio. We've Norma Moriarty, councillor with Fianna Fáil. We've Teddy O'Sullivan Casey, who's running for Fine Gael. We've councillor Johnny Healy-Ray, who's an independent. We have Podge Foley, who's running as an independent. And we have Stephanie O'Shea, who's running for Sinn Féin. And Stephanie, look, housing is a vexed issue. It's across several different sectors. It impacts on tourism. It impacts on staff for tourist businesses. It impacts of people obviously on the housing waiting list, and we have this situation referred to by Podge at getting the doors back open or maybe using the buildings that are in our town centres. What would you do if you're a councillor to try and help that from Sinn Féin's point of view?
Well, we have a few things. We have the Cree County grants coming in. Great idea, but it's not working. I think at the start of the year, I think we had only four people actually managed to draw down those grants. It's been up in operation now for 2 years. It needs to be looked at, see how we can make it easier for people to actually get that and be able to actually access the grants. Applications is one thing. We need people to actually draw them down and actually make it happen. Mm. We have to look at my own hometown of Carrigrohane. We have a lot of vacant buildings. It is a huge issue. It's impossible to rent. I am of generation rent myself, so I understand it. I have friends from ranging in their early 30s and upwards who are now back living at home with their parents. We should not have to be doing this in our country at this stage. We're well off country. It's wrong to see that when we were in our 20s we could get houses no problem, and now we're all suddenly back home or struggling to get houses to rent. We're obviously hoping to be in government in next time round, and we're hoping to make change from the bottom up with new housing policies. A total of 7 affordable houses were delivered in Kerry in 2023, which is not enough. We should have more low-cost sites available for people to give them that option. I think that people that are hardest hit are those working families that are maybe just in between the threshold of applying for a council house and somebody who can actually get a mortgage. Again, I've just turned 40. I've kind of given up on the idea of ever being able to get a mortgage, because it would just be impossible at my age, believe it or not, already to actually be able to get a mortgage. And to be in that threshold it's very difficult. But definitely the tackling of the vacant rates. We also have the issues of a lot of holiday homes in the area. Yes, tourism is our bread and butter. I've worked in tourism since I was 15 years of age. It's what we all know and what we do. But we have the second highest level of holiday homes in Ireland. It really affects the outer towns, like our Gaeltacht areas. I see in Banaskellig it's all nearly holiday homes. Even if we could get half of them back, what a thriving community would be.
So would you support
be.
The short-term debt regulations and the registration that's coming?
Yes, I think nearly all parties are in agreement that needs to come in. We do need that. At the same time, we need it to protect our tourism industry. It needs to be regulated to protect the tourists. We're still waiting on the regulations. It's back from Europe now for nearly 3 months. We still don't know exactly what's going to happen with that. we need to, but at the same time, we need to protect our established B&Bs.
Okay.
The granny flat on the side, the room renting house. They should be kept. But at the moment, people are in limbo. We don't know exactly
okay.
what's going
Councillor
to be.
Councillor Norma Moriarty, what's your answer in relation to that multifaceted problem of housing?
Housing is unquestionably one of the main issues that keeps coming up because we haven't cracked it yet. A lot of improvement has been made. There's been a record number of house commencements every week. There's been over 1,000 commencements in this country every week in the first quarter of 2024. That's a 63% increase on the same period last year. That's very welcome, but we're not where we want to be yet. Okay, we are in the right trajectory, however. In relation to dereliction, the Croí Cónaithe grant was a very new grant. It's between 50,000 up to 70,000. 50 if you're refurbishing effectively, and 70,000 if the property was effectively derelict and needs a greater refurbishment. With any new grant, there's an awful lot of working through that has to be done. It's an awful lot of taxpayers' money. The checks and balances that go into it are significant, and rightly so, because it is taxpayers' money. You want to make sure that it's getting where it needs to be targeted. The process of drawing it down has improved as well, because people have gotten used to how to go about them. Those that are administering it have gotten used to it. They've also been better able to tell people, look, what you've put in there, while you see it as okay, you need to say this in it. You know, you need to focus on that element of it and so on.
Is it all too slow though? And is it all too slow from the council side of view, from the government's point of side of view, and again, allied to that, the length of time it takes to bring voids back into usage by Kerry County Council has been much criticised by several councillors over the last
It has,
years.
And I would say voids in particular where it comes to rural one-offs. Okay, we have a number of rural one-offs in my area particularly that have been vacant for over a year. Now, each one of them has been costed very highly to bring it back into use, but we need to get cracking on those and get them back into use. It is not, conscionable to see any house that is solely available for residency to see that vacant. I have an issue, however, with criticising holiday homes. Holiday homes are not homes. They're commercial businesses in and of their own right. And the idea that we're going to take them out of use as holiday homes is actually negative for our local economy. I'm very, very much in favour of actually, because it is such a significant part of our local tourism economy in South Kerry and Kerry as a whole. It brings customers for the cafes and for the shops that Podge was referencing earlier. It brings people to the community. It brings return families. Generations come back to the same areas year after year. I was in Dukes on Friday night. These are people who came as holiday makers 50 and 60 years ago, and they eventually came and settled in the area.
Okay, so you're against that. Okay, yeah. Teddy O'Sullivan Casey, what's your answer to that? The housing issues and the problems of it?
Yeah, it's one of the big issues on the door, really, especially around the towns. One of my main priorities would be more social and affordable housing in Kenmare alone. There, there's a site kind of up for sale there alongside LD for 15 acres someday. I would be strongly encouraging the council to look at buying that for a mix of affordable housing and maybe two-bedroom houses for elderly people who want to downsize. That all the auctioneers are telling me there's a huge demand for in Kenmare at the moment, and I'm pretty sure it's probably the same in all the other towns as well. I suppose the vacant homes grant is one of the best ideas ever. It's under the Housing for All programme, but the problem I have with it is that people are being turned away when they see what paperwork and what red tape is in it. They won't get their money until the job is complete. So in my view, I think when I was building my own house, I got money at foundation, at wall plate, and when the house is finished. So I think they should bring in stage payments as well. The SEAI grants there too, the retrofitting grants, they could be used as well. I suppose the Help to Buy tax refund schemes, they would be good as well. I think you'll get 30,000 back to use as a deposit. I suppose if we look at the towns, I think there's 20 vacant shops in Kenmare at the moment, for example. And we have the town centre first plan now coming into place. Well, there was €30,000 allocated for that, so there will be an officer appointed for that, and hopefully everyone will engage in that,
That needs to happen quicker, yeah. Sooner rather than later. Okay, we're going to get Johnny Healy-Way's view and Pod Foley's view on this, because it is an important issue. We've other things to tackle as well. We want your comments and your questions as well. We'll get to those after we take these.
Elections 2024 on Radio Kerry.
Get in touch with us on the programme. We've got 5 of our candidates running in the Kenmare local electoral area for our election debate. We've Teddy O'Sullivan Casey, who's running for Fine Gael. We have Councillor Norma Moriarty from Fianna Fáil. We have Sinn Féin Stephanie O'Shea. We've independent Councillor Johnny Healy-Ray, and we've independent candidate Podge Foley. 5 of the 16 running for 6 seats in Ken Mayer. Now, we were talking about the issue of housing. Padge Foley, I'm going to come to you next on this. It's, as I said, a multifaceted problem. What can you do as a councillor to try and address the issues surrounding housing and housing for tourism, for staff, across the range, really?
Well, look, housing is a massive issue, and like I think the young people today growing up, I think they've given up on the idea of home ownership. It seems like debt is the new kind of slavery to them. That's what I'm hearing anyway, you know. Money's hard to get, prices are too high, you know. A big problem in every town, Kinmare, you know, Carsevine, Killorglin, is empty houses and derelict houses. You know, this crack of fining, you know, for an abandoned building and that, yeah. Like, you know, they've got to get serious about it. You know, they have to get serious about it. They're going to have to start taking drastic, and I mean drastic action, you know. And as well, like, as even at a bigger level, like, you know, these kind of vulture funds coming in, buying these massive properties, cut the head off the snake, get rid of these lads, you know, and make things affordable again. Make it worth people's while to strive to buy, to do the right thing, to go up, work, buy a house, you know, build in their communities, you know. Like a lot of us, like, and I've struggled, I've fallen hard times before, you know, and like what I find there as well with things like derelict house, like, you know, things like, I'm chairman now at Tidy Towns in Killorgan, like, you know, and like, you know, we get things done. You know, we got a run a walkway there done the last day. Might cost the council 120 grand, 150. We got it done for zero money, you know. And I'm just saying, you give a small bit more money to the likes of us, we'll get things done for you, you know. We'll get places, we'll get roofed, we'll get the walls done and everything and open again. But you have to take the gambling out of housing. There's gambling going on in housing. No man should own more than, let's say, his own house and maybe another house. Maybe he's inheriting a house or he's a holiday home or something like that. No man should own multiple properties because that is gambling with people's lives.
Okay, all right. Johnny Healy Ray.
Yeah, Johnny, look, first of all, I believe that I'd like to see everyone that want to own a home would be facilitated in every way possible to achieve that. Moreover, in their younger years, people that want to start their family and settle down, that's how we keep people living and working in our county. I think there's five or six different things that need to be done to stop the housing crisis. Number one, the grant that's available is very welcome, and it's a large grant, one of the largest grants ever to come. It's an awful pity that it's a draconian process to get as far as your application being accepted and approved. Secondly, then, as a part of that grant, it's being approved and assessed by Kerry County Council. Then it's sent to the housing department for to be approved and assessed secondly. It's double the work. We've perfectly good, competent staff in Kerry County Council that are well able to follow the rules of who would meet the criteria for this grant or not. The housing, the Department of Housing should be providing the local authorities with a block grant, give them the rules that they need to abide by, and people can achieve that and then secure the grant and move on. The amount of time it's taking is putting people off, the amount of work that's in it. You have to get a professional to apply for it, and these people are very hard got now for anyone that wants to get an engineer or anything. Secondly, then, we have different problems in our county when it comes to housing. Planning, for instance. Planning is very difficult at the moment. We, any of us that were involved in the local area plan recently, I firmly believe, and I've said it before, you need five times the amount of ground zoned than for what you would need to build on. Various reasons. Land is not available, land is in dispute, land is not suitable. We've a planning regulator now who wants us to zone a very small section of land, build on that, and then move on. The reality in the ground is totally different. And one of the things that's extremely difficult in our county, take Kinmare, for instance, Jerry. Our sewage treatment plant, we're waiting 10 years for that to be upgraded. Gladly it is now. But, and that will hopefully lead to development in places like Kinmare, and it will. And people that are earning over €37,800 in this county cannot get on a social housing list. So we need housing for them people in the middle also. Okay. But Irish Water have a big part to play here. There's a lot of towns and villages in our municipal district. Yes, yeah. For a start, you need zone land, you need planning, you need sewage treatment plants, and you need developers to to deliver the projects.
Norma, quick response on this. You want to get in there on the housing situation.
Just in relation to the housing situation there, like we obviously have gone through our LA process, so we're coming to the end of it. We have yet to get the regulator's final communication on it.
This is for the Kinmare Municipal
District. This is for the Kinmare Municipal District. And we agree, we as the councillors around that table agree, that you do actually need to overzone in order to meet your targets. If you zone just enough of your targets, you'll actually won't hit them. You'll underperform. It is also very important, and look, I just want to mention the fact that next Monday night, the 13th, there'll be a meeting with Senator Mary Fitzpatrick in the Plaza Hotel here in Killarney about the grants and the various schemes that are available. So, and I know of young couples, for example, that are getting involved in that at the moment, that are actually using that 30,000 tax rebate to help towards building their own property. They're going to benefit from the waiver in terms of the connection to Irish Water and so on. So sure. A lot of good schemes are there. They need to be ironed out, certainly, but there's good supports being there to help people in every way possible.
I want to move on to our next issue. And it's to do with the job of being a councillor. One of the committees you might be on is the Joint Policing Committee. And the Joint Policing Committee plays a role. Councillors get elected onto it and have a role in liaising with the Gardaí in order to make our counties safe. Would any of you, and I'll start with you, Stephanie O'Shea, Sinn Féin, on this, if you got elected or re-elected, do you think there's value to the Joint Policing Committee and value to going on it? Or are they just talking shops, which is an accusation to level at them?
No, I think there's value to these committees. It gives the local perspective into issues that are there. I think one of our biggest issues in this country is that we're too top down and not bottom up. It is the local people who actually understand the issues, what we need in the area that needs to be on these committees. So I think these committees are actually beneficial to you.
Okay, Padge Foley.
Well, absolutely. Well, you've got to be on this committee, like, because I mean, at the moment, like, you know, the police don't have any power. You know, the power is with the criminal. You know, you the police there, you can see them there. They're scared to put a hand on the criminal or something like that because they'd be sued. We're not backing up our guards, and the judges are not backing up the guards either, you know. And if you don't have rule of law in a place, right, you know, you then it's danger, basically danger, like, you know. And, like, take for example now, right, you know, in Killorton.
Would you go on the committee? Do you think it would make a difference?
I would, of course. But I tell you, I'd give them a lot more power. I'm telling you, there'd be fellas watching their back around town, like, if I was in the committee, like, you know, there'd be fellas not, you know what I mean, like, you know, because we have to be more hardcore when it comes to that. We can't be this kind of liberal policing kind of, you know, crack of, oh yeah, you know, be soft. You have to be hard when it comes to crime. Otherwise, you're going to be walked all over.
Okay, all right. Teddy Casey, and I'll ask you this allied question to it. A listener gets in touch, and it's along the lines of whether something's a talking shop or whether councillors have power. Would you be in favour? Would you go on a joint police committee? Do you think there's a value to it? And also, a listener asks, can you ask the councillors if the CEO system of our county councils renders councillors redundant when it comes to decision making? Do you have any real power, or should that change? Should you have more power to have a say in what's really going on?
Yeah, well, first, I would be more than happy to sit in the Joint Policing Committee. I suppose Podge is 100% right there. The guards have no power, and they're, you know, with all the rules and regulations, GSOC and all that kind of thing, they just can't do anything. What drives me mad is when the guards are trying to do their job and there's a phone stuck in their face. That needs to be tackled urgently. Urgently. That is just because I know many guards and they're good friends of mine, and it's sickening to see what's being done to them. With regards to the CEOs and things, well, I thought the job of the councillors was to instruct the council to carry out their functions. Do you know, that's democracy at its best, I think, myself.
But the idea of the last number of years is all the power centralised in Dublin. The executive make decisions in direction from the department and councillors have little say. What would you say to that?
Well, I suppose the new council, I hope to be a part of it. I mean, it's going to be their job to ask for more money and send up motions and demand more money, more resources.
Okay, Johnny Healy-Ray.
Yeah, look, Johnny, first of all, I would agree, and I have said previously at council meetings and in other media outlets, the role of a councillor in my time since I started in 2011 has been diminished and eroded in every way possible, I believe. And I find that very disappointing, because every councillor that will be elected on the 7th of June or the 8th of June, when the ballot boxes are open, is elected by their people locally. They're trusted to do a job. That's why they're there. They're held accountable by the people. They're on the ground, every one of them. So I believe that we as councillors, and you look at our local area plan, for example, I could give you 10 examples, but that's one. We've gone to enough. We've had days of meetings. We had one meeting, I think it was 12 hours, going through that local area plan. And I believe that every councillor done their best to zone what they would call adequate, suitable places for building houses and commercial premises in this county and made a case for them. But unfortunately, we have the case now where the planning regulator that was brought in by the government in 2018 can overrule and override our decisions and the logic that we have given, and the planning regulator...
There's a reason, however, why a planning regulator was brought in.
Agreed.
Some bad mistakes were made by councils all over the country in massive overzoning, under pressure, and chasing the dream of the Celtic Tiger, and a reason why huge swathes of Kerry were inappropriately zoned.
Yeah, well...
So you have to have some level of oversight.
I agree, Jerry, and that's fine. Firstly, I'd like to point out to you, though, that nothing like that, to my knowledge, ever happened in this county, and I believe that all previous councillors acted to the best of their ability and responsibly. While that happened...
Did Kerry not have to dezone thousands of acres of land? 2012, 2013, 2014,
sure,
to clean up the mess?
Like our local government. The thing about zoning land is misinterpreted altogether. If you have enough zone land, the market decides, and you have adequate availability of ground for to build houses, and the market then will decide the price of the houses. When you have a limited amount of zoned land, you're making a millionaire out of one, and you're forcing the people who are trying to buy the houses, they've only a limited amount of people to deal with or to buy houses from. If you have enough adequately zoned land, and we're not running out of it, thankfully, the market decides the price of the houses. And when it comes to planning and housing and the other issues that we have here, I honestly believe that's why we elect 33 councillors. We should have a lot more say in that. And remember, each councillor have only one vote. No councillor can zone half a South Kerry for one thing or the other. You have to get a majority to win a vote in any council.
Have you not got 3 votes in the Ely race?
We have, and we agree 99.5% of the time, but when it comes to my municipal district, I'm the only Ely Ray in that, and I was the only Ely Ray zoning land in that local area plan. While I have 3 votes, 3 votes won't zone land either, by the way.
Okay, all right. Norm, I'll come to you. Tell you, I'll come back to you.
Sorry, just one quick thing there.
Kelly, very quickly.
What drove me mad there when they were doing the county development plan there, the regulator met with the management and things, which was fine, but they never met with the councillors.
Correct.
They should have met with the councillor as well. Like, I know the regulator has his job to do, but he should have taken...
Does that back up the comment from the listener that you're being bypassed by the executive and by departments?
Yeah.
Okay. Norm Moriarty?
Yeah, just one quickly thing. While Johnny might have been the only Ely Ray zoning land in the local LAP, he wasn't the only councillor zoning land in the LAP.
Didn't say I was.
But
Johnny done his very best to ensure that we have enough adequately zoned land.
To go back
place.
To your original question in relation to the JPC, I happen to sit in the JPC and I do find it very beneficial. However, it is important for people to realise the JPC as it currently is being changed, and it's going to become a wider community partnership with wider community involvement. Anything where you get that wider community perspective is to be welcomed, because how our communities are policed and how we do things as preventatively as possible, rather than having an issue down the line, if we can basically have better CCTV footage, better crime prevention, and one of the things that we've done, for example, is the See Something, Say Something rollout in various communities, and it has been very beneficial. But also just the for tagging your property and so on, in terms of farm machinery, tools, all the rest of it, that if they happen to be stolen, that they can be tracked and traced subsequently and returned to those that rightfully own them. So look, there's a lot of common sense stuff that gets done in those committees.
So
they're not
the
just
JPC
talking shops.
And it's changing, but what about that point about the executive being in control?
The
centralisation of power, which has happened under Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael's watch over the last 30 years.
It is. Look, and I would have to say, and I can only base my experience on what I've experienced over the last 10 years, which has effectively been in that restricted scenario, if you like. I speak to people who would have, remember the time of the dual mandate, for example, where at their council chambers, they had somebody who might also have been, a junior minister. So they would talk about access to power that they would have previously had. But for various reasons, the dual mandate was done away with. It meant you had more people getting into politics, there was more space and so on. Our job is, effectively, as the board of directors of Kerry County Council, we do instruct the executive on those matters where we can. But there are reserved functions, okay, which where the legislation precludes us from having. We can articulate our point of view, we can articulate on behalf of our the people we represent, the communities and so on, but effectively they are reserved functions, and you know, we will do our best to make sure that we can access funding. And that's actually where I get very, very exercised when people say we ask central government for more funding. When we as a local authority can raise funding ourselves, we actually become more independent, and it is extremely important that we have as much access to our own resources as possible, because that allows for that discretion
is
then,
that
and that allows
for increases in local.
It absolutely is, and I've no problem making that argument any time I have to make it.
Stephanie O'Shea, your party is resolutely against the local property tax. What about that point? You raise your own money, you have your own power, you can do your own things independent of government. Mm-hmm. Are you giving away that by always voting against it?
No, we just think it's another tax on the working person. It's not really needed. Our country is doing fine financially, but I don't think the regular person on the street feels it. There's many other ways of raising money for the country. We give tax breaks all the time to vulture funds, investment firms, and giving them a quick win. Why can't we raise the money elsewhere? And as for taking money from central government, it's a lot of our taxes that are going there too. So, you know, pay it back a bit and pay it back fairly.
Okay, Padge Foley, what's your view on that issue of local property tax? Would you raise money if it benefited Kerry directly, locally?
No, I wouldn't. I think it's fundamentally wrong to tax a person in their home, you know. Now, I know you'd probably say that, you know, there's a few things from Killorgan that have benefited, you know.
But, the RDI hub being a prime example.
Exactly. But I think at the moment, the pressure on housing, and like we're going through I don't know how many years now, a homeless epidemic. You know, we've over 14,000 people homeless. We've over 4,000 kids homeless. You know, and you know something, in 20 years time they'll be looking back at us and say, "Ye let that go on." You know, just like in history there, they said, like, you know, the going back to the previous, you know, laundries and all that kind of stuff. We need to take the pressure off our housing, you know. Okay. Absolutely, you know, and we can raise it other ways. We can raise it other ways.
There's other ways to do it. Yep. Teddy Casey, same question to you. Local property tax, if it's a good project, if it raises money and raises the chance to Kerry County Council to do its own thing, would you be in favour of it?
Yeah, well, generally, I think if people don't mind paying some bit of tax once they see the benefits, you know, and like, I mean, the benefits are there, really, to be seen, I suppose. Our playgrounds and things like that, all those kind of stuff, footpaths and things, all that. You know, but at the moment, I wouldn't be in favour of increasing it if it just held the way it was until things improve, like, okay. You know. I suppose, like, there's some very important projects that need progression as well, like, you know, down in Kenmare there now, like, you have the peninsula lens and things that's going to come on stream there now soon. That'll be a great addition to Kenmare, like, you know, since I started this campaign, really, a number of people have said to me about this, they have a lovely park there in Glengariff that people from Kenmare are going over to on a Sunday.
Yeah.
They're wondering, why can't we have that here in Kenmare? You know, so I mean, if the property tax can do things like that, I think it's well worth it.
Johnny Healyway.
Yeah, Jory, look, I've never voted for to increase the property tax, and I think it's a very unfair tax on the family home that most people have built and maybe are still paying for or halfway through paying for and had to put it there themselves. People are paying every other kind of tax in this county. A lot of people are paying over 40% tax. A lot of people are paying over 50% tax. And I have to say, and while you mentioned there the likes of the hub in Killorgan, and that's
which
welcome.
Some councillors who voted against the tax welcomed when they announced their expansion.
Sure, how could you not welcome the hub? It wouldn't have happened without Fixico either, or the McCarthy family. So we'll be fair, and Kerry County Council have a large budget. And I think when and if a project like that comes up in places like Killorgan, they most certainly should support it. But this nonsense of wearing the property tax up 15% and down 15%, it was given to local authorities to make councillors feel like that they had some input into what was happening in their county. And I honestly, and I've said this at every meeting that has ever come up, I disagree with the tax on the family home, because most people, and moreover in our municipal district, they have to secure planning permission, they have to pass every kind of an environmental percolation test, they have to pay for every penny of it along the way, and they got no help with that, and they're still getting no help with that. So I believe people are paying their fair share, and a tax or to be rising tax on the family home is very unfair.
Okay. All right, if you have a view on what the councillors are saying, get in touch with us. We'll take a quick break. Our last stint with the Kenmare Local Electoral Area councillors after we take these.
Elections 2024 on Radio Kerry.
Yeah, we're talking about the Kenmare local electoral area. We have five of the candidates running for the local electoral area with us. And in our studio, we have Teddy O'Sullivan, Casey of Fine Gael. We have Councillor Norma Moriarty, I should say, of Fianna Fáil. I keep trying to promote you to Minister, Norma. But Sinn Féin, Stephanie O'Shea. We have Independent Councillor Johnny Healy-Ray, an Independent candidate, Podge Foley. A couple of comments and views coming into us here on the programme. Norm, put these to you. If Norm Moriarty can't see the problem with empty homes in South Kerry, especially Celtic areas, I don't know what she sees when she's driving around the county in her car. These are not homes. They're contributing to the economy. They're empty most of the year. Another listener says, it would be better if those holiday homes had families in them, bring the local community alive again. We're dying in these places. Can you address that?
There are a lot of families in those homes, and I know that from canvassing. There's far fewer emptier homes than there was previously, and I know that for a fact. In relation to the Gaeltacht area of South Kerry, an enormous amount of good work has been done, and I'm a member of that task force, the Gaeltacht Task Force, Eve Rohig. We've done a significant amount of work, and we also have a focus on on housing. We have a forthcoming online meeting with Minister Dara O'Brien in respect of that, where after completing a 3-year study in relation to how we can actually benefit the Gaeltacht townlands, and we're looking at housing trusts and whatever whatever means we have. We basically have an action plan written up in terms of how we can benefit housing in Gaeltacht areas. And also, of course, you have the Ballyhale Service of Gaeltacht and Carrigrohane, which is a direct result of that task force as well. There's going to be 7 years of sustained funding into Carrigrohane through that task force, language planning officers and so on. So there is no shortage of good work that has been done in relation to that. And I do want to mention as well, 3.5 million for the GTEC in Banskellig, which will be a 50-desk GTEC hub. So those high quality jobs that we've for generations been seeking to come back to South Kerry are now have a home to come back to. Many of those people would be civil servants who actually are originally from the area, who actually have family homes in Banskellig, who have the opportunity to come back and live there. But the point I was making, holiday homes are an integral part of our economy.
You're saying they're an industry, they need to be...
They're commercial units, not residential units.
Stephanie O'Shea, on that, listener says Sinn Féin will take Airbnb houses off people and give them to people who never contributed or worked to provide for themselves. God help us all if Sinn Féin ever get into government or maybe on the council, says Joe. What's your response?
I wouldn't agree with that. It's about a balance. We were talking about holiday homes there. The holiday homes are 25% of the housing stock in the Kenmare LEA. We're not talking about the homes that are being used, but we're talking about the houses that might only be used for 1 week in the year. They need to come back into stock. We have great initiatives like GTEC coming in, but they have nowhere to live when they do come home. They can't find anywhere to rent. Yesterday on DAF, we had 4 properties in the entire South Kerry available for rent. We have no room for our young people. We have families actually having to leave the area. There was a couple last year who had to leave Valencia, both of them working, had to leave Valencia. They've moved to Kildare, took their kids out of school because they could not find long-term accommodation. Okay. We're in a housing crisis. And let's remember, we wouldn't be this clamped down on the Airbnbs in the first place if the government had done their job and actually stopped the housing crisis from developing in the first place.
Okay, speaking of that, Podge, one of your guests is preaching that no one should be allowed to have more than one house or two houses. Next thing, he'll be telling us how big a home we can have. Maybe one room of maybe no more than 20 square metres per person. Crazy, says Jim O'Sullivan in Killarney. What's your response to Jim?
Well, Jim, by 14,000 people homeless and over 4,000 homeless kids is crazy, you know. And like, you're thinking about the upper scale of things, like, you know, think of the other people who don't have any homes, you know, give them a chance. And you know something, when you give people a chance, they work hard and they pay back society. So think about someone else for a change instead of yourself. Come on, Jim.
Okay. All right. Teddy, Casey, if I can say it to you, if repeating the same mistakes and expecting different results is a definition of stupidity, then welcome to the theatre of political absurdity starring Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Someone saying, too many Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil councillors voted in, controlling the council, we should go a different road. What's your response to that?
Well, Jerry, to be fair to every council, I don't think no one goes into politics just for the fun of it. Do you know, everyone have their own genuine desires and they have their own particular things they want to see done, do you know. I think politics has gone very toxic recently, do you know, and I think a bit more humanity needs to come into it, do you know. I certainly am not looking to join Kerry County Council to warn the seat, you know, and I have my own personal issues that we need to address when we get in, like, if I get in, if I'm lucky enough to be one of those elected to the next council. And look, everyone have their own views, fair enough. I know people are under different, they're under hard circumstances, and when they see politicians come to the door, they probably don't, you know, you kind of get a bad vibe out and things. But look, I certainly haven't gone into politics to warm the season.
Okay, Johnny Healyway, earlier on a listener got in touch with us, said it should be one term for councillors. The same people over and over again, whether independent or in government, are not getting the job done. Healyways have been there for decades. What's your response?
All I can say to that is I believe that the Healyways have been there for a while now because we give an honest and complete service to the people of this county. And if someone doesn't want a councillor to be there the next time out, they have a chance every 5 years to vote for them. I suppose it can't be any fairer than that. And June the 7th is the day, and the people have their say on that day. And I suppose to make a one-term councillor out, it often takes a councillor a while to get going. The wheels of government and local government move slow. I would suggest that councillors that are doing a good job keep on them, because there's a lot of places that are getting difficult to get people to run. So that would be my answer to that. Could I just say, Jory, on the Airbnbs and the holiday homes? Look, holiday homes in our municipal district came about through a different planning process and planning through the years when you could get planning for them. That's no longer the case. Holiday homes must certainly have a place, and our county, and I agree with Norma on that. I would also say that people are fearful of renting homes for different reasons. Number one, they're paying massive tax if they will rent out the house, so an incentive there might be better than the shtick in this case when we have a lot of them. But the Airbnbs I particularly want to mention, Jory, and the rhetoric by Sinn Féin about Airbnbs is nonsense when it comes to this county. A lot of people have Airbnbs as an extra bit in income or a room off of the house. Or I came on a woman the other evening in the Glen and Ballinskillix where they don't know what you would call a glorified cow house and are use it for an Airbnb, and she told me that that's sending her two kids to college and they work very hard to turn it around every week. And in this county, at the amount of bed space that we've lost because people coming in and taking up and everything else, the Airbnbs are more important now than ever to keep our tourism industry alive, which means jobs, which means our economy, and is very important to our LEA more than anywhere else.
Okay, Stephanie, I'll respond. Did you respond to that? You were talking about a balance earlier on.
It is about a balance. Again, it's not about taking away the established properties, the bed sit on the side, the rent a room, but there's a big difference between a house out in the country and a three-bedroomed entire home inside in the middle of a town. We need people living in our communities. And on to the Johnny's point there as well, we have lost all of our tourism accommodation. Carsevine, we've lost three hotels. But let's remember, this was happening before the Ukrainian war. This was happening before COVID. This has been government policy for a long time. Sinn Féin are not going to be shy about tackling this issue. We've been fighting and shouting about it for a long, long time now. We need change, and we need that change from the bottom up, because that's the only way it's going to work.
Okay, listen, we're out of time. My thanks to all of you for talking to us on the programme this morning about that, for coming in and talking to us. Councillor Norma Moriarty of Fianna Fáil, Councillor Johnny Healy-Ray, Independent, Padge Foley, Independent, Teddy Casey of Fine Gael, and Stephanie O'Shea of Sinn Féin. You heard there the other councillors running in the Kilmare local electoral area who will be hearing from between now and the election. Greens, Cleo Murphy, Councillor Michael Cahill of Fianna Fáil, Ken O'Sullivan running for Fianna Fáil, Tony Donnelly running for Fine Gael, Sinn Féin's Damien Quigg, Social Democrats' Tim Clifford, Councillor Dan McCarthy, Independent, Oliver O'Neill, Independent, Patrick Lyne, Independent, Irish People's Party, William O'Brien, and Catriona O'Sullivan of AN2.